Talk to you about a friend of mine named Rod Eccles. You see, Rod's made a career out of kicking ass, and do you want to know why? Because that's what Americans do. We don't talk pretty, and every now and then we step on a few toes. I'm okay with it, and I'm willing to bet you are too. I think we're ready for a healthy dose of truth, justice, and the American way. That's why I tune into Rod weekdays 9 to noon, and I pray to God you'll join me. So together, we can get back to making America great.
Zinc Media. Feel the power of knowledge.
Number three here on the Rod Eccles program. It is the fastest 3 hours on internet talk radio powered by Zinc Media Arts. Here it is, Wednesday, hump day, August number 29 in the year of our Lord 2018. Probably 90% of all the kiddies are back in school by today, and 100% of them will be back in school by this time next week, which is the perfect time for you adults to be tuning into this program, because next week something big is going to drop. I am not overstating this, folks. Honestly, it is going to blow you away. Simply. I can say this. That tagline is a hint at what is going to be dropped next Wednesday, September 5th. Just as a heads up, for the Labor Day weekend, we will do a Friday show. So we'll have Freedom Friday here this week. But Monday and Tuesday of next week will be best of days. I will be off. They will not be live. And then we come back hard on Wednesday, September number 5. And you're definitely going to want to be there, because we're going to shake the Granite State down to its core. Well, that's kind of hard to say, because really, there, believe it or not, even though we're known as a Granite State, the state really isn't loaded with a lot of granite. Yeah, I was shocked to find that out. The reality is there's actually more granite in Vermont than in New Hampshire. But Vermont is not known as a Granite State. We are. And that's basically because, the granite that was available here is considered some of the best building granite in the world. You know, we have this granite that's kind of, it's the gray stuff. It's used in construction projects. It's used in foundations of many homes around here in New England. It's used in road construction. It's curbing. It's all that beautiful gray granite that you see out, that benches are granite benches and seating and everything else is made of outside. It was used in buildings in New York City on the facade of many of the older first towers in New York City, skyscrapers, and that's what's come to be known as Concord Gray. And there are a few different shades of Concord Gray, but it's the pretty gray stuff, and some of it has like these speckles that just sort of gleam and sparkle in the sunlight. Some of it doesn't. But that's where the granite, because it was just sent all over the place. Even, believe it or not, there was some granite out of Concord itself that was shipped and used in building certain projects in Italy. So it's, again, this is how we became, because this was also granite that was closer to the surface, that was easier to get. Now, there's much of the granite in Vermont you actually have to go mining and digging for. But again, we actually, there's more granite. So they say there's more granite in Vermont than in New Hampshire. Now, with that said, there is a particular quarry in Concord, and there are only a couple of granite quarries in New Hampshire. I know that's just, again, granite state, hard to believe, but the quarry in that sits on top of a hill in Concord. Evidently, they've got veins of granite that they can easily get to for the next 150 years. So there's a lot of granite there. And granite, you know, one of the things about granite is that now that there is a new industry, of course, you have new granite that's just mined and shaped and all that kind of stuff. But there is a big demand for what they now call antique granite. And that's granite that has been used in other projects before, and it's had been exposed to the elements, and it gets aged and colored and it can turn out to be beautiful stuff. And people use it in their driveways now. They use it in retaining walls, and it really is beautiful stuff. And it lasts for, it's impervious to just about anything that Mother Nature throws at it. So they don't like to put it up and break it up and throw it in landfills anymore, because people, the used granite, basically the antique granite, has a lot of value. And in a way, it's competing with the new stuff that's coming out, which is why that they try to expand the kind of stuff that they make out of granite to because the older stuff hasn't been made that way. So the newer stuff is, they're starting to make it this way. But again, they're going to run into the problem that within the 30, 40, 50 years, that all this stuff that they, all this new stuff that they're making with granite is all of a sudden going to be antique, and it's going to be in demand as well. For whatever reason, not just Americans, but human beings like old stuff, because we like, this is really kind of interesting. It's a dichotomy. We like the history of stuff. We like old stuff because it has history. But then we don't want to teach people the history behind that old stuff. It's a fascinating dichotomy. It really is. Sure, you know, we like this old stuff. We like that it's got history, but we don't know the history of it. Well, wouldn't you think that people would want to know the history of something? They're given a paragraph or two, and they think that's all there is to it. And that's not the case. There are buildings here, and I'm not talking public buildings, you know, mostly homes and such. And you go try to find, I know sometimes it's hard to find the history. You try to find the history of a particular, like, say, home that wasn't owned by a famous person in history, a famous historical person. It's hard to get that information because there's so little of it available. And that's pretty sad. So you want to know the history, like, here's a particular, there's a granite house in the Pembroke area. It's all made out of granite. The outside wall, granite. Except, well, the roof isn't. But from foundation up to the roof line, it's all granite. Now, you want to try to find out information about who built it and why? It's not available. And the house is said to, well, it's got a date on it of 1843, I think. And you just want, well, how did they get all that granite? How did they get, you know, build it? Why did they go to the expense of it? Well, the expense of, believe it or not, at one point, granite was actually very cheap, which is why it was very cheap and very impervious to weather, which is why it was used so much as a building material. Not to mention it was just great looking. But now granite is not so cheap. It's in high demand. And of course, you know, you're not going to use Concord. Most people are not going to use Concord gray as a countertop. That's a different kind of granite coming from different parts of the world and different parts of the USA. That's what people use for their countertops. But if they're going to use it in landscaping and construction, that's the gray granite. That's the stuff that's probably coming out of New Hampshire and Vermont. And this stuff gets shipped as far west as California. In fact, I just saw, not too long ago, one of those house flipping shows. They were in part of the landscape. They were using granite from a Vermont quarry in California. So the stuff goes all over the place. So I guess you could probably say that Vermont and New Hampshire are the granite states. And another surprising thing is a lot of marble. There's a huge marble quarry in Vermont, and this is white marble. This is highly sought after for countertops and for monuments and for building or making carved things like bowls and stuff out of. This is that granite. If it's a white granite, if it's all white, it's probably out of this quarry in Vermont. It's amazing. It's beautiful stuff. Absolutely gorgeous. Any case, glad that you are back. We still have a whole bunches and bunches of stuff to get covered this morning. And want to start off with the consumer. Speaking of granite, now a lot of people, one of the things that some economists are worried about, the Trump economy is not all roses. And when they talk about new homes being built, it isn't because people are afraid to go out and spend the money, because consumer confidence is at an 18-year high. Meaning consumers, because everybody's getting jobs, real paying jobs, so people are feeling very good about going out and spending money. As a matter of fact, some people are getting back on the track of overspending because credit card debt is on the rise again, total credit card debt. Now, there are two things with that. One, it means people are not concerned about not being able to pay the debt, so they're going to spend it. Some people are spending above their means, yes. But they're not concerned because of the confidence. It proves that they're not concerned about not being able to repay it. And they're spending the money on big projects. A lot of big projects that they've put off. And it's not, obviously people are not buying automobiles on credit cards and taking out loans, but they are remodeling their homes. Remodeling of existing homes. This whole notion that new home starts are not as nearly as high as they expected. And so you would think that construction companies, especially home builders, would be struggling for work. No, these people are backed up. Why? Because people, instead of buying new homes, they're remodeling the ones that they're currently living in. This is noted by Home Depot and Lowe's having near record profits in years and quarters and all that. It's ridiculous how much Home Depot has been raking in this year alone so far. And that only means that people are, what? They're spending it on their existing homes, remodeling it. And I can tell you that the quarry in Concord, New Hampshire, has upped its production. Now, you only up your production simply because there's a bigger demand. People are buying it. So that's all part of a booming economy when consumers have the confidence to spend the money that they're earning because they don't have a fear of not being able to pay back a large bill. But all of that is being ignored. So the so-called crumbs that the Democrats talk about that they want to take back are fueling this economy like we have not seen before at the pace that it's going. And the recent you know, 4.1% GDP last quarter has been revised, as they always do. But instead of the regular Obama era being revised down, every economic indicator has been revised up. The actual reality revised GDP for the second quarter of this year is not 4.1%, but 4.2%. Thus putting it on track for a total of a 3.0 annual GDP rate that Trump promised. And trust me, these folks don't want to put out those numbers. They don't want Trump's economy. They don't want to give him any more credit than absolutely necessary. I mean, hell, they're already trying to say this is Obama's economy, not Trump's, which is a total farce. Nobody's buying that. I mean, they can't even say it with a straight face. I mean, honestly. So nobody's buying it. And what is fueling, the only thing that is holding things back is people are talking about, prices are starting to rise a little bit. One, because companies are feeling their oats and their product and services are in demand. So, you know, supply and demand, they can raise their prices a little bit. But they're also trying to throw in, well, our trade tariff tiff with China. Well, see, the problem with that is all the tariffs is that the tariffs are falling away because we're getting all of a sudden, you know, Trump threatens tariffs. And next thing you know, we get an economic deal with the EU. We get a new economic deal with France. We get a new economic deal with Mexico. And now the Canadians are starting to say, we need to talk. After Trump, you know, signed the deal with the Mexicans, Canadians are saying, guess we better talk then. And even China, our biggest tariff tiff partner, is sending a delegation, trade delegation, to Washington to talk terms. So all of this, and look, none of this stuff that's happening is really at the detriment of any of our trading partners that we come to an agreement with. Again, as I have always said with Trump, win-win means for him that we win. And that if the other side wins too, well, that's just a bonus, but it's not necessary. But the case is that all of these win-win negotiations for when it comes to trade, both sides are winning. And we start to see that those who'd come to the table honestly and we strike a deal with, they're starting to see their economy starting to pick up. So this is why people can safely say when the U.S. wins, the entire world wins. Because we do seek fairness. I mean, we honestly do want to have fair competition. We want to fairly compete. Well, mostly because, you know, we have that type of confidence to know that if it's a level playing field, we'll kick your ass in anything. Doesn't matter what it is. Just give us a level playing field. We'll kick your ass. And a lot of countries know this, which is why they raise certain barriers anyway, because they know they couldn't compete. But now we're getting agreements that allow these other countries to compete evenly with us, and both sides are winning. An amazing thing. And you know what it takes to do this? I've always said this, we need more business people and less lawyers running our governments. That's plural because that's local, state, as well as federal. We need more business people because they fully understand that government should be run like a business. You know, Ross Perot once said that. Remember back during the campaign, 92? Perot said it. We need to have business people, more business people up there in government to run the government like a business. Government should be run like a business. And, of course, the left especially. But even, you know, even the H.W. Bush group of Republicans said that government isn't a business. We're not in it for a profit. But that wasn't the point. No, government, you're not supposed to run government for a profit. But yes, run it like a business so the decisions that are made for the benefit of the consumer, in this case, the American people. And if you're, you know, governor or legislature, it's for the benefit of the citizens of that state. Ross Perot had it dead on. And understand that the vast majority of our founders were not politicians. They were clergymen and businessmen. And a bunch of clergymen and businessmen came together, agreed upon the Declaration of Independence, and then later agreed upon the Constitution and the Bill of Rights. They were not lifelong politicians at that point. They were not a bunch of lawyers. They were clergymen and businessmen. And they had that, they ran the country and the government with a business mentality. And they gave us a firm foundation in which this nation was built upon. Because let me tell you, if the Constitution was not a good one, it was it did not set a firm granite foundation, we would not last as long as we have lasted. We have gone the way of many other countries that have had revolutions and constitutional changes and all that kind of stuff through within our country's history. I mean, how many governments has France been through since we became the United States of America? They're on their third, right? Didn't they have two revolutions? And if you want to toss in, you know, being taken over by the Germans in World War II, well, they lost their government there, so they had to reform it after we kicked the Germans out. So no less than three. And this is the truth behind a lot of countries around the world. They've been through numerous governmental changes in the past 230, 250 years. We have not. And we haven't because we had this firm granite foundation. And this is what Democrats currently want to chip away at. They want to rock that foundation so the whole house can come tumbling down. I mean, you always hear about this when you go look at a house you want to buy and it needs a lot of work, needs to be refurbished or remodeled. And what do people say? Oh, it's got good bones. What they mean is the foundation is soft. You know, a lot of these, we call them rubble foundations or block foundations here in New England. And they're not the solid foundations that are poured concrete or concrete block that is used in modern construction. These are, a lot of times, these are dry laid. There's no mortar. And the funny thing is that these foundations have moved very little. And people come in and they say, well, there's a lot of, you know, dry rot in the wood and the framing, and this has got to be replaced. But what? The foundation is solid. So if the foundation is solid, everything else can be fixed. Once the foundation goes, well, you got to replace the foundation. There's no repairing it. You got to replace it. But the house still stands 150, 200 years later because that foundation is solid and has moved very little. That's what they gave this country. Plain and simple. And we have a guy in office right now as president who understands that foundation. And frankly, this man is doing more behind the scenes than we absolutely know about. Absolutely, then we can, you know, you want to say keep this going? Yes, because what he's working on, we find out, you know, a few weeks later, months later, wait, when was he doing that? The man is all over the place, but yes, he's a master at multitasking. He's tireless. And this is why he's been able to stay ahead of these idiotic Democrats, because while they're literally sleeping, he's up working, negotiating, making deals, getting information, putting plans in place, literally while these people are sleeping. And when they wake up finally, because they got to sleep 8 or 10 hours, and he only needs 4, they're already behind the eight ball. And when they start attacking him on this one thing that they soon find out about, oh, he's moving on to something else. They can't keep track of him. This is why they need to get rid of him. And when people say, well, I wish Trump would do this, I wish Trump would do that, he's probably already, and even I catch myself saying that a lot, he's probably already ahead of him. He's probably he's 3 moves ahead on the chessboard of these people. So I don't think it's going to be, obviously it's not going to be easy for them to get rid of him. And I think if they are somehow able to succeed to try to remove him from office, that the American people will revolt. And it'll be a revolt like we have never, that we haven't seen since the Civil War. That's how rabid, if you want to use that term, people support for this man is. For a good reason.
Warning. Listening to the Rod Eccles Show by the idiot left may cause outrage, fear, a need for safety pins and or spaces. If you experience any of these symptoms or are allergic to truth, tune in and learn something, Snowflake.
Tired of paying outrageous prices for Viagra? Well, we have great news for you. Now you can finally get Viagra at huge discounts. Healthy Man allows you to save up to $500 on Viagra. Why pay U.S. pharmacy prices of $15 per pill or more when you can get Viagra for less than $3 a pill? Call today and get 40 Viagra pills for only $99. This can cost as much as $600 at your local pharmacy. You can't afford not to call us. If you want Viagra at the lowest prices, never pay $15 a pill pharmacy prices again. Get Viagra for less than $3 a pill. Call 800-595-2614 today and save up to $500 and get 40 pills for just $99. Healthy Man is fast, easy, and affordable. Operators are waiting at 595-2614 to take your call now. Call 800-595-2614. That's 800-595-2614. Again, 800-595-2614.
We've all heard of male enhancement, but now there's an expert on true male enhancement in the areas that really count. In Herb Ellis's book, Husband 2.0, Real Male Enhancement, you'll find answers to questions like, why doesn't she want to have sex? A quick start, quick results workout guide. Plus, what you can do as a side hustle to make money now. With all the great tips in this book, every man can benefit. Get the book, Husband 2.0, Real Male Enhancement, on Amazon.com.
It started with a knock, but it wouldn't end there. What happens in the story next, many wouldn't understand, and most wouldn't believe. 5+2=Perfection by Samuel Rosett Jr. is a must-read. The scriptures within are reminders of the ancient past, and yet intriguingly infuses with texts which stand on the edge of the stage of relevancy. Available online at Westbow Press, Amazon, Books A Million, Barnes & Noble, and SamuelRosettJr.com.
This holiday season, help Soldiers for Stockings improve the morale and welfare of members of our armed forces deployed overseas. Now through November 20th, there is so much work to be done, and you can help in many ways. Download the stocking pattern from stockingsforsoldiers.org and start sewing today. Volunteer to help decorate and assemble stockings. Donate Christmas candies, snacks, nuts, chips, drink mixes, DVDs, books, magazines, lip balm, toiletries, and other items needed to fill the stockings. Or help make packets of snowman soup, hot chocolate to send along with the stockings. For more information, patterns, and a list of items needed, visit stockingsforsoldiers.org. This holiday season, help send our troops a touch of home. For many, it's all they will receive. All stockings need to be completed by November 20th. So get started today at stockingsforsoldiers.org. That's stockingsforsoldiers.org. Stockings for Soldiers, sending stockings filled with joy to our soldiers in harm's way for the 9th consecutive year.
If you're 85 or younger, would you like peace of mind and comfort for your family? We're Final Expense Direct with an urgent message for you. The average funeral today costs over $8,000, but the most you'll get from government benefits is $255. How will your family pay the difference? We can help. Our senior plans start as low as just a dollar a day and pay up to $30,000 for a funeral and other final expenses. Peace of mind is easy. There's no medical exam. You'll have lifetime coverage, and your plan can't be canceled as long as you pay your premiums. Call now for free information about our senior plans. Answer a few simple questions and receive approval right on the phone. Plus, call right now, and we'll give you a discount prescription card for free. Call 800-471-9742. That's 800-471-9742. Again, 800-471-9742.
Do you need a car? Been shopping only to be turned down because of bad credit, low credit, no credit, bankruptcy, or divorce? Guess what? Today's your lucky day, because now you can buy a car, truck, or SUV, just about any vehicle. It's true. Bad credit? Doesn't matter. No credit? Doesn't matter. Bankruptcy or divorce? It just doesn't matter. As a matter of fact, your job is your ticket to your new vehicle. We're Auto Credit Express, and we've helped thousands of people just like you. Antonio H. told us, great company, got me connected, and the day I went in, I drove off in the car I wanted. 100% worth your time. Need a car? Get started now and drive off as early as today. Just go to 7ignoremyscore.com right now. That's www.7ignoremyscore.com. Auto financing the easy way. 7ignoremyscore.com. Get started today. Auto financing the easy way.
Welcome back. You know, before we get to today's holidays, I wanted to address something about, because, you know, a lot of these snowflakes talk about the imperialism of the United States. Do you realize for a nation of our size and our power, there are nations not even a quarter of our size that have more possessions than we do? The possessions and territories that the United States has is not a lot. As a matter of fact, even some of the territories and possessions that we currently have, we didn't actually necessarily win them in war. They were actually turned over to the United States by the UN after the UN was formed in the 40s after World War II. Like Guam, for instance. Yeah, United States thought it was going to be a, you know, it's a beautiful base to have there. The island would make a great military base, but did you know we were not really in control of it until the UN said, yeah, this is going to be yours. And there was even a couple, well, one that we actually bought, the U.S. Virgin Islands we bought, by the way. There was no conquest there. We just bought it, much like the Louisiana Purchase. And other places that we did win through war, like the Philippines, we let them go independent. And we've offered the same thing for Puerto Rico. I know Puerto Rico's got a lot of issues down there, but, you know, look, if they wanted to vote to be an independent country, we were prepared to say, okay, go for it. But they've always voted to stay a territory, and now they voted to proceed to become a state, but they got a lot of fixing up to do down there in their government and stuff before they can be considered to be a state. It's a long process for them, but they're choosing to be a part of the U.S. We're offering them independence, and they're choosing to be a part of the U.S. The Philippines, we offered them independence, and they took it. So we're not an imperialistic nation. We don't seek to conquer and control. Well, yeah, we do seek to control. Really? If we were in control of the Philippines, do you think it would be in the mess that it's in now? No. Not hardly. But you can't convince the stupid. I'm not talking about the ignorant, because the ignorant can be educated, because that's all ignorance is lack of education in a particular area. They can be the stupid cannot be educated, as plain and simple. But in any case, it is now time for today's holidays, and there's only a handful of them today. But here are the holidays for August number 29. It is according to Hoyle Day. Now, if I'm not mistaken, there was according to Hoyle Day earlier this year already. Or maybe I'm just remembering it from last year. I don't remember what the, there isn't a whole. You can look it up if you want. It has to do with mathematics and gaming, according to Hoyle. It's also there's food today. Oh yeah, and this is pretty decent food. But don't confuse it though, because it's not authentic. But it's Chop Suey Day. Now this is a day for the American Chinese dish, chop suey. It usually consists of meat, but sometimes it is vegetarian. It is not something that is on the Chinese diet. There's, I gotta say, it's Americans taking another culture and Americanizing it and creating something totally new and delicious, I might add. And there's nothing wrong with that. I know some people think, well, geez, you Americanize everything. Sometimes we make it just as good or even better than what the original thing might be. We've got Chinese fast food. You go to the mall and you go to the all those Chinese restaurants that don't even sound like they're a Chinese restaurant. You know, they might even be called Bourbon Street, and you walk over there and it's nothing but Chinese food. But you're not going to get 90% of that stuff in China or Japan. Because it's all been, and understand that much of this stuff was invented by Asian immigrants. The Chinese, Japanese, and Korean immigrants that came to this country that started these restaurants, yeah, they said, you know what, let's do this. And we ate it up, and we call it Chinese food, just like chop suey. It is also International Day Against Nuclear Test. The International Day of Nuclear Tests was declared by the United Nations General Assembly. Of course, they would come up with such a day. Well, look, if they don't want nuclear tests, then they probably should work a little bit harder on getting rogue nations like Iran and North Korea from getting them. Because who's doing a lot of the nuclear testing now? Or threatening to do nuclear testing and building? Well, North Korea, Iran, and a couple of other rogue nations around that want to get their hands on nukes, which is now causing their enemies like Saudi Arabia and other Middle Eastern countries and other Asian countries now want nukes too, because self-preservation and defense. Right? So that's, you think the UN would be a little bit more on top of preventing nuclear proliferation. But, hell, half the members of the UN want nukes themselves, which is why they're not really serious about anti-nuclear proliferation. It's also Lemon Juice Day. Yes, lemon juice. Not the whole lemon, just the juice. There is a lot of good from drink, you know, you squeeze a lemon into a glass of water. Well, not a whole lemon. That's a bit tart for most people to take. That becomes lemonade when you add the sugar. But if you take a lemon slice and you squeeze it into a, you know, an 8-ounce glass of water, that's actually very healthy for you. It does a number of things, including it speeds up your metabolism a little bit, so you burn more fat at rest. If you ever go on a diet, I don't suggest temporary diets, but if you ever go on a diet, add, you know, 1 to 2 glasses of lemon water is what it's called, to your daily routine. You'll see faster results, and you'll burn more fat as well, and you won't dump a lot of water that your body actually needs. Willing to Lend a Hand Wednesday is observed on the last Wednesday in August, and it's basically, you know, being a humanitarian, lending a hand to your neighbor or your friend or that person across halfway around the world. I get it too, yes, but mostly it's about being local, with your volunteerism. It could be just lending a hand to your neighbor because he's, you know, residing his house or painting it, or you know, maybe they need some help mowing the lawn or trimming the verge. That's hedges for most of you. So yeah, just lend a hand. Today is Lend a Hand Wednesday. Go out of your way to help your neighbor. It's also National Sarcoidosis Day. It's S-A-R-C-O-I-D-O-S-I-S. National Sarcoidosis Awareness Day. What is this? You're probably asking. Well, sarcoidosis, I'm not exactly sure how you pronounce this medical term, because I'm not a doctor, and I've never played one on TV. It is a disease involving abnormal collections of inflammatory cells that form lumps known as granulomas. The disease usually begins in the lungs, skin, or lymph nodes. Less commonly affected are the eyes, liver, heart, and brain. However, any organ can be affected. Now, the symptoms depends on the organ involved. For lungs, for instance, it could involve wheezing, cough, shortness of breath, chest pain. On the skin, it could be lumps or ulcers, discolored skin. In children, it could be massive weight loss, bone pain, feeling tired all the time, even when you get plenty of sleep. There are ways to control and, in some cases, cure certain parts of it. But it can be chronic, and so it needs to be managed. But that is, it's Sarcoidosis Awareness Day. It is also National Swiss Wine Growers Day. I don't think I've ever had a Swiss wine. I'm going to have to go to the New Hampshire Liquor Authority store today and look specifically for a Swiss wine and try it. Anybody know any of any good Swiss wines? I don't know of any. I guess they make red wines. I don't know. I've never heard of, you know, international awards being won by Swiss vintners, but I suppose it has happened and it can happen. Nobody thought the California wines would be any good, and now they're world-renowned. So maybe this is the same thing with Swiss. Who knows? I'll have to try a couple and let you know. It is also, finally today, More Herbs, Less Salt Day. Now, like, okay, you know, using less salt is probably a good thing for many people, because we do tend to eat a lot of salt in our Western culture, but not just ours. There's a lot of salt being eaten in, because salt is a preservative and it's a flavor enhancer and all. It's used for all kinds of things in both the Western and Eastern world. But this was a day that was created by Thomas and Ruth Roy of Wellcat Holidays and Herb Farm. And they've created a bunch of holidays. And since they're an herb farm, of course, they had to create a holiday that's going to sell more herbs. In any case, it can still be a tasty day to celebrate. You don't have to get your herbs from Thomas and Ruth Roy's Wellcat Holidays and Herb Farm. In any case, you also should know your herbs, what they're good for. Fresh herbs, in some cases, are better than the dried ones, and in some cases, the dried ones are better than the fresh ones. You really got to know. So this is a day to learn more about herbs that you like and use more of them more often. So those are your holidays for today, August number 29. Especially when it comes to Swiss wine, please go out and celebrate responsibly. U.S. workers. This is a Wall Street Journal report. U.S. workers report highest job satisfaction since 2005. More jobs, fewer layoffs contribute to brighter career outlook. Remember all of those kids back during Occupy Wall Street that were demanding jobs? Well, those who were serious about it and wanted jobs are now finding them. Of course, it took them a little while. They had to get rid of Obama in order to do it. But now they're having their demands met. And what do we get? Some of them are saying, get rid of Trump, man. He's just evil. Well, he's the reason why you have a job. More than half of U.S. workers, 51% to be exact, said that they were satisfied with their jobs in 2017, the highest level since 2005, according to a new report from the Confidence Board, a business research group, as reported in today's Wall Street Journal. Over the past 7 years, Americans report feeling better about their pay along with a greater sense of job security, both features of an economy with a low unemployment rate and a long decline in layoffs. In July, jobless claims continued an extended post-recession slide and hit their lowest level. Jobless claims hit their lowest level in July in nearly 50 years. Now, there is a downside to this. Unemployment at 3.9%. Very low jobless claims rate. It is going to mean higher wages soon, because obviously now employers are going to have to compete for what's available in the labor field. And one way to attract these people is to offer higher salaries than their competitor. And as I have said before, here in the New Hampshire area, we've already seen it, where McDonald's is offering as much as $10.25 to start on a day shift, not overnight or closed, but $10.25 to start. And they can't get workers at $10.25 because literally down the street are companies that are offering $15 and $18 an hour or more. That's when you start seeing upward pressure on wages. And it's a natural phenomena. It's not artificially inflated by government and stupid minimum wage requirements. And if it's a natural phenomena, it doesn't end up being a tax. And so, therefore, companies don't move out of certain areas. Well, obviously, if you're in San Francisco, where the minimum wage is $15 an hour by law, if you can, you're going to move outside of San Francisco because the minimum wage isn't $15. But if the natural phenomena is all around because of low unemployment and there just aren't enough workers to fill the jobs, well, now that employer feels, well, it's pretty natural to pay $15 an hour if I want to attract these people. I may have to raise my prices a little bit. You know, I may have to do other things. But it's not all of a sudden being forced on me. It's a natural phenomena for me to get the best people. That's a big thing. And, of course, the Fed kind of likes to see this. The Federal Reserve likes to see this because they want inflation. Believe it or not, all this inflation stuff and raising of the interest rate, you know, the Fed base rate, it allows the Federal Reserve to be paid back all of that money that they've been lending out. If you don't think the Federal Reserve is not a private bank, you better think again. They're now starting to reap the benefits. And some people ask, well, the Fed always seems to lean left anyway. Why aren't they trying to stop Trump? Because they're getting paid back. They're making their money back with interest. Now, if anything, you got to understand that a leftist who's a capitalist is still a capitalist. Now, I don't care what you say about those wonderful people in Hollywood. They're all leftists, sure. Sure as hell, they're giant lefties. But they're also capitalists. They want to make as much money as they possibly can, which is why they're hypocritical. But they're still capitalists. They talk about, you know, well, the government should do this and have this and we have this. And it's from a selfish point of view, because if they don't have to pay for something, if they don't think they're paying for something, they'll go for it, even though they have tons of money. The more of their own money they can keep, great. And if you think that all these high taxes are going to hit most of them, you got another thing coming. Why do you think they hire, you know, such powerful tax attorneys and accountants? Why do you think they depend on these people so much, oftentimes where they don't even check up on them? And some people find out later, my accountant stole all my money. Because they don't check on them, because the accountant does such a wonderful job of paying so little in tax for them, that they keep him around and they trust him. This was partly Johnny Depp's problem. You know, he had a bunch of accountants that wouldn't hold him accountable, and he trusted them, and then he finds out, well, I'm almost broke, and he starts blaming accountants and lawyers and everything else. Well, he should have been paying more attention. That's the truth in that. But the American worker, their pay is starting to rise simply because of such low unemployment. And it's simply the market forces. This is all market forces, which means it's going to be longer lasting so long as government doesn't get in the way. And usually this type of stuff changes simply because government gets in the way. You know, they raise taxes or add new regulation, or they do something to screw the whole thing up. Because usually, if you let the economy go along naturally with as little government interference as possible, then it lasts for a longer period. The reason why we had such a long growth period under Ronald Reagan is because he got government out of the way as much as he possibly could. It was all natural forces. The reason why things are happening so fast and so well is because Trump got government out of the way as much as he could, and this is nothing but a natural response to that. It's all natural forces. It takes time, because I know people are saying, well, people's incomes aren't going up as fast as the economy. Why? Why? Because it takes time. It's a natural process. And we're starting to see incomes start to inch up. Because the natural process was get unemployment down. Why is an employer going to be willing to pay somebody more when they can go and find another qualified person who isn't working, who's willing to come on board for the current pay, or maybe even a little bit less? Because that was the natural force when you have high unemployment. Low unemployment means, well, if I want the best people, I'm going to have to pay them a little bit more. That becomes more natural, and it lasts longer. History has proven this, folks, by the way, over and over again. This is not something new. And any economist worth his weight will tell you exactly the same thing. Even though many economists might be left-leaning because they were educated in, you know, places like Harvard and Yale, the reality is if they actually know anything about the economy, unlike Ocasio-Cortez, they understand natural processes and forces. And they also understand that it's longer lasting the more natural the process is. If it's government forced, it's gonna kill it. Always has, always will. I mean, look, we had massive government intervention in during the Depression. Did that get us out of the Depression? Nope. According to the same economists from places like Harvard and Princeton, FDR's intervention, big government intervention, extended the decade-long depression by at least 7 years, and the only reason we got out of it was because of World War II. Which leads some people to believe this is why we go to war, because it raises people out of, you know, economies. No, that's not necessarily true. It raises the economy because government's so involved in the bad economy that the only way that they can let go of the bad economy is to focus on war. But that's the only reason that we came out of it. In other words, what these economists have said at Yale and Princeton is that if it wasn't for World War II, the Great Depression could have lasted well into the 40s. And then we wouldn't have had the great economic boom of, you know, 46 to 50, was it 56 or something? The rise of the middle class, the post-war boom, as they call it. We wouldn't have had it. So there's a lot of that. Thanks, Tom, in the chat room says, nope. No Swiss wine reviews that he knows of. Okay, I'm gonna have to go out and get try. We probably don't even have any Swiss wine. It might be rare. Or it might be just too damn expensive. Who knows? In any case, we are coming to the close of another brilliant program, if I do say so myself, and I do. And we'll be back here tomorrow for Thursday's edition. Don't drink too much Swiss wine. If you do drink some, let me know what you think of it. Give a review. And learn a little bit about your local area history-wise today. Learn something new. And then go out and be very appreciative of the economy and invest in something or buy something. But, and also, get off your duff and get active in your local political campaigns as well, because we got to win this thing in November, folks. Until then, I'll see you tomorrow. Have a wonderful hump day afternoon. I'm Rod Eccles. Thanks for tuning in. I'm out.